Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt. As always, today's February 22nd, day after President's Day. Would you classify yourself as a big President's Day guy, Matt?
You know, I think I probably brought it up at our school more than the history teachers did.
It's fun to have the day off.
Yeah, fun to have the day off. I've actually had a couple days off because it was President's Day. Then if you're in Utah, you know we've had quite a bit of snow, so there's a snow day today. And I've technically got a snow day tomorrow, too.
Shoveling driveways is a workout.
It is.
Which we've discovered.
Yeah.
Took me 45 minutes to shovel my driveway so I could go to the gym, and I didn't want to go to the gym when I was done.
Yeah, it's good for your back, or maybe I just need to do more back stuff.
But. Yeah. But yeah, so snowing Utah, and I'm in a, like, my car's in the shop, so I'm just in, like, a crappy Hyundai Accent or something like that, so I can't go skiing because I can't make it up the canyon.
Yeah.
So I need my buddy with a truck to get back from Mexico. So I can't even take advantage of the snow, so it's just no point of living in Utah for me for the next week or so.
Yeah, that's annoying. Is that how long your car is going to be in the shop?
Well, they said March. Well, they called me and they were like, we think it'll be done by the end of the week. But then, like, they sent me a text, like, expected date March 2nd. And in my head, like, that's like an almost 3 week difference from what you're telling me.
Yeah, that's huge.
So I have no idea.
Maybe, you know, sometimes places will tell you that it's going to be like way later. And then when they do it early, it's like, oh, they did a good job and did it fast and expected, even though it's not really fast and expected.
I feel like restaurants add like half an hour to every wait time.
Right.
Like, just so if they say like it's going to be an hour. Hey, North Carolina beat Notre Dame.
Hey.
Got to beat somebody. Yeah, so
good for them.
But yeah, where restaurants are like, oh, it's going to be an hour and it'll be like 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. Depends on the restaurant. In other news, I got a mullet on accident.
Yes, he did.
I've decided to lean into it, but also get ahead of it. So if I'm the one making fun of it, other people can't, is my attitude.
I think that's a good idea.
But I feel like Theo Vaughn. Do you know who that is?
I do know who that is.
He's very funny. But it's definitely not as stark as that, but that's what I feel like.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I bet the top will grow. I feel like your hair grows fairly quick.
Yeah, I honestly think in like a few weeks it'll be fine, which is why I'm just gonna lean into it for a couple weeks.
Yeah, just let it go.
Yeah, and see what happens. But yeah, so we got big guest today, Tom Bogert, MLS writer, the Adam Schefter of the MLS on the show with us. Really interesting conversation, a lot of good stuff to talk about. There might have been a slight audio issue, so do apologize for that, but he's a really good guy. Been trying to get him on for like a month, and he's been in Europe traveling back and forth. A lot of MLS transactions. So appreciate him coming on. We're going to talk a little all-star stuff. Then I got an interesting top five this week.
I'm excited.
That I'm excited to hear about. But yeah, all-star weekend was this past weekend in Salt Lake City. And from a basketball perspective, it was really interesting. Dame won the three-point contest in his Weber State jersey.
Shout out, which Wildcats. Which is awesome.
The only person I knew in the dunk contest was in the G League. So that was fun.
Right.
I think the Pelicans guy, I'd like seen him play. I've never heard of the Knicks guy in my life.
Yeah.
The Martin's kid looked exactly like Kenyon Martin. I don't know if you thought that.
See, I didn't even watch the dunk contest because it's hard for me to care about a dunk contest if I don't know who the people are. You know what I mean? And, like, I'm told that Mac McClung did very well. He had some really good
dunks. He did awesome.
But I just feel like if it's an NBA dunk contest, you know, it used to be Michael Jordan. It used to be Kobe Bryant. You know, it's more exciting to watch them.
Vince Carter.
Yeah, you know, and even if the dunk, you know, even if Mac McClung can dunk as well as them, they're, like, you know, like professional dunkers and dunking is the only thing they do and they don't play basketball. I don't want to watch those guys, even though they can probably dunk better than Mac McClung. You know what I mean?
Mac McClung did do really well, though.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But you know what I would do to fix the dunk contest? You know how they're going to fix it?
I don't.
Winner gets $10 million.
I don't know if that would do it. Like, LeBron's making a lot of money already.
I know LeBron's making a lot of money, but, like, you don't think Donovan Mitchell would come back a second year for another $10 million? On a rookie contract?
Now, this is not prepared, but what would be, like, your ideal four for a dunk contest?
My ideal four.
And this is probably something we should have thought about before. But.
Yeah. Ja Morant. Can I say Ja Morant twice?
It's your dunk contest.
Just give him twice as many dunks.
It's your dunk contest.
I would like to see that. No. But yeah.
Now, it can be historical.
It can?
Yeah, because mine would be Dominique and Michael Jordan for sure.
Well, yeah, I got to think about this for a second.
So mine would be Vince Carter, Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, and I have to think on the fourth one.
Okay. Well, if it's all time, then yeah, Michael Jordan, Vince Carter.
Is Zach LaVine? Is that too like recency biased?
I think I would put Aaron Gordon ahead of Zach LaVine.
Really?
That's another thing with the dunk contest that I want to talk about is remind me to get back to the scoring because that's just been a disaster. But yeah, I definitely have Aaron Gordon ahead of Zach LaVine.
Okay, interesting. Aaron Gordon was not so good. But he was very good in college and then kind of dropped off a little bit once he got to the NBA.
I mean, he's fine. Like I'd be happy with him being my fourth or fifth starter, which is what the Nuggets have, and part of the reason it's so good.
The University of Arizona, because Lauri Markkanen, no one, like, everyone's like, oh, he just came from Europe. Like, yeah, but he went to U of A. Like, no one realizes he went to U of A.
No, I didn't know that.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Maybe I only knew because I was in Arizona when he was there.
That's probably it.
But they've got some good NBA players.
Yeah, for sure.
The Pac-12 hasn't won a national championship since 1998, U of A.
That's a long
time. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. We're getting very distracted very quick.
I mean, but yeah, Pac-12, it's not really a basketball conference. Like,
UCLA in Arizona.
Yeah, but like UCLA, they've been good in our lifetime like four times.
But they've been to the Final Four at least four times in our like since junior high.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
That's better than most schools.
They're not like, it's better than most schools. I still don't really think of it as a powerhouse.
Well, it should be, because how easy is it to, it should be the easiest place to recruit to.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, literally, the entire NBA, like, that's where they just play pickup in the summer. How hard would it be? Hey, come play pickup ball with LeBron. Go to school with the most national championship ever in Los Angeles. I know for you that's not a sales pitch, but for most people that's a pretty good in Los Angeles is a good sales pitch.
Definitely.
They should be a lot better than they are. It was crazy when they were going through their hiring a few years ago, and the best they could get was Mick Cronin or whatever his name is, a Cincinnati coach who's just always angry all the time.
Right.
They couldn't get anybody better than that.
That seemed weird. Can I tell you about the scoring for the dunk contest?
Yes. Sorry to get distracted.
Okay. So here's what I would do. So in the dunk contest, there's going to be 4, 8, 10. Depending on how they do it and how they eliminate people, there are between 10 to 12 dunks. I would say in the whole dunk contest, per judge, so this is not per panel, this is per judge, you are only allowed to give one 10 the whole time. And once you give that 10, you're done. Okay?
Interesting.
And then you're also only allowed to give 2 9s. Because the reason Aaron Gordon lost so many times is because judges are giving out so many 10s, and even though he's doing better dunks, they're also giving the other guy 10s, which, because that's, they just don't know what to do, and they just like, oh, I liked that a lot, it was really good, so it's a 10. That's not how scoring should work. So I think if you limit the amount of, so 1 10 per judge, 2 9s per judge, I feel like that's real, they're going to have to be really careful about their scoring and what they're doing.
Interesting. I like it. Yeah, everybody was given 50s or 10s or whatever, like the highest score.
Right.
Like, you should be, there should be scores that are like a 36. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, not everything has to be between a 45 and a 50.
I mean, a 36 is what you get if you don't complete the dunk.
They'll give right. You should get like a 9 if you don't complete the dunk.
You should get a 0 if you don't complete the dunk.
It's stupid. There should be like, it shouldn't be between 45 and 50. For like the whole thing,
right?
Because Mag McClung's dunks, literally, you didn't see any of his.
I haven't seen any.
Oh, they were, this first one especially was like unbelievable.
Yeah. Like, I'll probably go back and watch them, like, to see the winner. But like, I don't care about Mac McClung dunking. I want to see Kobe Bryant. Dunk, yeah, you know.
But we were watching it, and like right when he did it live, we were like, oh, it's a pretty cool dunk. And then it like did the slow motion replay and showed like what he actually did, and he had like tapped. He, like, jumped over somebody, took the ball, and we just thought he, like, dunked it from that. We're like, oh, that's pretty cool. But he'd, like, taken the ball and, like, tapped it against the backboard and then dunked it, and it was, like, so much cooler.
Yeah.
So you should check it out.
That's fun. I'm not a huge fan of dunks that, like, you have to watch this in slow motion to understand why it's cool, you know? Like, I want to see Vince Carter.
You just don't like Mac McClung at this point. Like, it was a cool dunk.
I'll watch it. I'm just saying, like, I would rather watch Derek Jones, like, bring his arm, like, all the way back behind his body. That's a more exciting dunk, I think.
All right. Well, you're not a Mac McClung fan, which is totally fine.
Sorry. I don't have anything against Mac.
Sounds like you do.
I'm sorry.
Sounds like you have a lot against Mac. It's fine, though. It's whatever. Really good. Yeah, All-Star Weekend, very crowded. I don't know what a lot of the celebrities did. It sounds like some of them were in Park City. So that makes sense. Yeah. When I went downtown Saturday night, a bunch of like the bar / restaurant by my work was like, it said private event. So I imagine some celebrity was there, like Right. Running that out.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised how many celebrities were there. Like we saw in the fan stands during the All-Star game.
Michael B. Jordan and is it Majors? Is he the bad guy?
Jonathan
in Creed?
Majors. Yeah, man.
He is in everything.
Yeah. He's doing really well.
He's having quite the year.
Yeah.
And he's in incredible shape.
Yeah.
Too.
Very, very
good for that guy. I would love to see him next to like Michael B. Jordan hanging out. That would have been fun.
That would have been cool.
Post Malone, I think I enjoyed that performance more than the rest of our family did when Post Malone performed before the All-Star game.
Probably. I did not like it.
That's a little surprising that you did not like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Our mom did not like it.
No, she did not.
She did not. He's cool. No one believed, like, when WoW came out and, like, he mentions, like, the Utah snow, like, the Lambo and the Utah snow, I was telling everybody in Arizona, like, yeah, he lives in Utah, and they, like, didn't believe me.
Yeah.
I was like, Google it. It's, like, a very certifiable thing. Like, I'm not making it up. And it's, yeah, he loves Utah. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great place.
It is. It's a great place, especially if you have a car that can go up in the canyon, unlike myself right now.
Yeah.
Normally I do. But yeah, All-Star Weekend was awesome. It was fun coming to Utah. Kind of sad that the next time it's in Utah will be probably in our 60s or 70s. But it is what it is.
Yeah, probably. That's okay.
It is what it is. Everyone was saying like, oh yeah, it was such a great weekend. They did such a great job. I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh yeah, Utah sucked. Or like any city. I don't think they'd be like, oh yeah, Houston did a horrible job.
Right.
So I don't really buy into necessarily all that stuff people are saying. But
no, I think that's probably true. I don't think people are going out of their way to say it, you know, and I know they like probably say it about every city, but I don't think we'd be hearing as many people saying Utah did a great job if it was bad, right? I'm not saying it was the best All-Star Weekend. I don't think it was bad. I think people often come to Utah and they're like, oh, this is a cooler place than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's probably what happened.
Well, Ryan Russillo was talking on his podcast when he like recorded live at Wise Guys at Comedy Club downtown.
Uh-huh.
And he's been here a bunch for like college football stuff, mostly when he was at ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And he people talk to him like, hey, like I'm going to Utah for the first time. And he's like, okay. And they're like, what's it like? And he's like, I don't know, like Denver, but the ski resorts are closer. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty much a normal city.
Yeah. It's a normal, like,
it's not Los Angeles. But it's still like a city, an actual city.
Sure, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you eliminate, you know, New York, LA, and Chicago, in terms of size and things to do, I think it's comparable with anywhere. And like I was talking about this with my students, is that Utah, as long as you know where to go, you can find anywhere you want. It's going to be as good as anywhere else in the country.
Yeah. Now, it's not as diverse, which is a fair criticism.
Sure.
But like,
I mean, how diverse is Denver or Portland?
I was going to say, like, Portland just gets off scot-free for no reason.
Yeah.
And, like, Oklahoma City, how much more is there to do in Oklahoma City than Salt Lake?
Right. Yeah, well, and, like, as far as, like, food and stuff, like, I would put Red Iguana against any Mexican restaurant in the country.
You do like Red Iguana.
Sete Bello is one of about 200 officially certified Neapolitan pizzerias in the world. So, yeah, you like Italian food, you like Mexican food. As long as you know where to go, you can find whatever you want here.
Yeah. No, there's good stuff. There's less of it. There's stuff for sure.
Yeah. So that's why you got to know.
Yeah, exactly. So that's our pitch for Utah. If you're here, let us know. Speaking of Utah, we talked about Real Salt Lake a little bit with Tom Bogert, and he gave me some optimism.
Yes, that was good. I'm excited to transition into that. I the reason I was not on the call, you did this in the morning. And even though I was at home, I had to get my assignments posted in time for the kiddos.
You heard everything, though, because you were in the room next door.
Yeah, I heard generally that he was positive. I wasn't particularly listening either.
And we talked a little bit about expansion, a little bit, USL, kind of a little bit of everything. You know, some academy stuff. It is too early, but he picked Philadelphia to win. And we talked about, you know, they've had a rough year, Philly, so they could use a boost.
They have had a rough year, man. I tell you, if this... At this point, I kind of want to see the Sixers go to the NBA Finals and lose just to see what the city would do.
Well, it wouldn't be good. Think if they lost, like, think if them and the Flyers, like, I know this is, I don't even know how the Flyers are doing, but, like, if them and the Flyers went lost in the finals,
yeah,
that'd have to be the first time ever, right?
For sure, yeah. The Flyers, I don't think, are doing particularly great. I don't think they're doing poorly, but I don't think they're a contender right now.
Let's look up standings. I literally don't know even how playoffs work in hockey.
Now, by the way, guys, this is a real treat. Typically, we are a 2-week Olympic intensive hockey podcast, and then otherwise we don't mention it. So you're getting a real treat to be hearing us talk about the Flyers.
The Flyers have 56 points in the Metropolitan Division.
Compared to, like, how many points does the
they're in have? Second to last.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's weird. There's an Atlantic Division that Boston is in, and then New York, New Jersey, Washington, Philadelphia are all in the Metropolitan Division. Why would Boston not be in the New York Division? Like, in that division, the New York-Philly Division.
Well, who else is in the Boston?
Looks like all the Canadian teams and the Florida teams, like Detroit, Miami, well, Florida, Tampa, Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo, Toronto. And then the Metropolitan is Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Pittsburgh, Washington. Just flop Carolina for Boston, because wouldn't Carolina being with the Florida teams make more sense too?
Yes, I don't know what's going on there. That seems weird.
Let's look at the West. So there's a Central. We're learning about hockey divisions today. So there's the California division.
It's called the Pacific division. It's not called the California.
Well, right. Division. But, like, Edmonton, for some reason, Edmonton instead of Arizona is in that division. And, like, Calgary and Winnipeg, I don't know Canadian geography, but I imagine those are pretty close to each other. Those are in different divisions.
It's got to have something with, like, new teams and, like, rivalries coming in and not wanting to break up rivalries. That's got to be what it is, right?
Well, yeah, but who's Chicago's rival? Like, you think Chicago's rival would be the East Coast teams.
Yeah, well, I mean, this happened. We've seen this with MLS, is teams just kind of keep getting pushed into the Eastern Conference because of expansion. So I bet it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be in the West, even though nobody plays hockey out here.
I've just discovered the Sharks aren't doing very good, so that's a bummer.
That's too bad.
RIP. Should we get to the Tom Bogert interview?
Let's do it.
We'll get to that. And then again, we got a good top five I think you'll be interested in. I was proud when I thought of this one. Welcome back to Double Take with Matt and Jake. We're joined now by MLS writer Tom Bogert. Tom, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, man. How we doing?
Good. It's bright and early. Not bright and early, but it's early. And there's about 5 inches of snow that dumped in overnight in Utah. So. We got a snow day where I'm at.
Ooh, that's not it. I'm jealous. It hasn't snowed all winter. People say Minnesota or maybe where you are in Utah, you are northeast, or east, northeast, and I am might not love to hear me being jealous that there's snow, but it's sad that we're going to have winter. We're going to have here in New Jersey.
Yeah, no, it's pretty to say least, and I ski a lot, so can't complain too much. And there's a few things I want to talk to you about, but first kind of just get started. Is it fair to say that you're the Adam Schefter of MLS? Is that an accurate statement?
What am I supposed to do with that? You can't give yourself nicknames, and it's pretty close in them. Yeah, man, that's me, man. Like...
Because I would say that you're breaking news left and right, reporting on all these crazy transactions, transfers going on. How do you keep up with all that? Do you know teams in every club, or how do you even be able to do what you do so well?
I appreciate fine words very much. Yeah, man. Look, it's a grind. It's relationships. It's asking the right questions, doing the right things. So it's everything. Phone, which isn't always ideal. So. And to put occasionally when Asian and phone, you know, hey, man, I wouldn't trade this for anything.
Yeah, it seems like an awesome job. Now, one thing I think a lot of MLS fans are kind of, I don't know if curious is the right word, but just a big topic right now is just playoff expansion. I loved the home and away aggregate format, but that's a thing of the past at this point. Is it just TV dollars? Is that why we keep looking to expand the playoffs? Is there any other benefit of that?
To be fair, the league has tinkered a lot of times. The positive way of viewing it is they're not afraid to try things and not afraid of change, which I think is generally, they're not 100% right. You miss on some things sometimes, but I think this, like, you know, it took baseball, it took a long while to make the changes they're making this year, which I think are generally positive. Not that you're asking me for MLB takes here. That was, you know, these sports, you know, these leagues are different. MLS is whole, but it was a common, that was a common complaint of sports. That might have been a little too, might have been, like, NBA has been really good at changing things, and I think MLS is even further because we've had to adapt, we've had to change, new things, we've had to try, we've had to, you don't hit again, you don't have time. So again, whatever we all think of the play, everybody has kind of different opinions on this. But again, I think it is that they're willing to change, and they're willing to change. Look, if this, people hate it, if people aren't watching, if people aren't showing up, if teams are going, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And it they might not even wait multiple weeks. You know, again, you know, see how it plays out. People have tried to talk me into some of the positives. I do think that I do like the team in the home game. It is cool for the fans. It is fan to go to these things that there's a, and I do still, the higher get, you know, home field advantage in a single elimination and the conference and the, I believe if I'm having, leave kind of there. So there, it takes what I loved most about the most and adds, and look, I guess home games, it's not, it's,
yeah, no, absolutely. And this year, if I'm correct, 18 out of 29 teams or clubs will make the playoffs. As far as expansion goes, like, have they talked about a stopping point? Is there, like, once we get to X number of clubs, we're going to stop? Or is it kind of just we'll see where we go?
Yeah, they've said 30 in the past. And that's kind of this, definitely this expansion, whether here completely or not. Only thing on the horizon in terms of expansion, Vegas came very close. It's like they were even talking about it publicly with Las Vegas, but Las Vegas, you know, moved there. I believe Commissioner Barber press conference does the league address for every season. That's point between now and Saturday. I don't have any calendar, so no doubt that. And he'll have an efficient answer as. As far as I, as the assumption working under, it's 30.
Okay, perfect. And one thing that's kind of blown me away is the USL teams. Like, I saw Indy's designs for, like, a new stadium, and it looks like one of the nicest stadiums in any sport in the whole country. And that's just a USL club. Are that with the hopes that eventually, and this is all general, so speculation to a certain extent, but how can these USL clubs be spending so much money other than hoping for promotion relegation one day?
I mean, I don't have a whole expertise in USL. I'm certainly not a certain guy or somebody who can break down numbers. I think it's awesome that teams have cool new stadiums. I don't know how that promotion relegation or whatever. And you'll have to, you know, ask somebody at the club or somebody who knows more about that stuff.
Yeah. Because it is, and like Real, like USL is interesting, and I know this isn't a USL podcast, but like Real Salt Lake, their team, the Monarchs, is basically just their academy. So everyone here is really focused on Real Salt Lake, which I understand. But yeah, in India, like Sacramento, where there's not an MLS club, I get it being much more popular. And trying not to be a homer, but speaking of Real Salt Lake, a lot of us are really frustrated the last few years. It just feels kind of like, you know, if you're from New Jersey, it feels kind of like a New York Jets situation. It's just like really frustrating, not a lot of sense of direction. Do you get any sense that it's at least on the up and up, and maybe we're trending like the Aaron Herrera trade? I was not a fan of Cordova. I get we just had his loan rights, but he's off, and he was one of our best goal scorers last year. It just seems like a lot of good stuff going out, not a lot of good stuff going in with Real Salt Lake.
Frustration. They are still looking for number nine. That talks with that didn't come. There's a player who ended up playing in Europe, a different European team. Like, I would point to Carlos Andres, who's, I think it was $3 million plus a big sell on. So he's a significant addition, a significant signing beating Savarino. Look, I mean, maybe I'm just gun shy in this because it's been a handful of years where you just wear this group and it's like, oh man, like they're probably going to be towards the beat. Just like, how are they pick up points, or are they going to score goals, or whatever? Like, Pablo Mascherini is awesome. Like, I got respect for that. And every year they're in the playoff race, and then usually in the playoffs. So, I don't think that you're wrong to be underwhelmed. But like, I sometimes just look at this group and look at this, like, I'm ends up and being like, hey, and like, I don't exactly see why they're seventh best team in the West, give or whatever the number is. Hey, like, they've continued to prove you wrong, or if you just pick up points, whether we miss you that there's high points. So, yeah, I don't know what to if you took the kind of club crest and everything, maybe the team would be viewed a little bit lower for me, but like, they just pick up, just, and like, it's like, I do love Demir, I do love Jefferson Savarino, Jefferson Gomez is, but you know, it's not like they have a whole lot of holes, So I don't know. I'm curious to see if you got a little bit. It's because even last, trying to break down this team was really down. Like, they did a lot of things, a lot of difficult. Like, they had some tactical things where they tried to do overloads or do switches. But other than that, this team just has a way of a chance in scoring and the supposed. Like, I don't know. It's been pretty cool to watch. Pretty out. You know, expectations most years.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't complain. And last year, we should, if we don't give up that late goal to Austin, we even win a playoff game. Then who knows what happens? Conference finals the year before that. So maybe I shouldn't complain. I appreciate you being positive about Real Salt Lake there. And one of the things I love about MLS is there's, and this is an oversimplification, but there's teams like Salt Lake, like Dallas, where they. Fantastic academies, either bringing homegrown players up, selling them to Europe. Philadelphia has been doing really good at that lately. And then there's teams like LAFC, NYCFC, where it's all about the money and the star power. Do you, and LAFC defending champs, NYFC champs 2 years ago, is there a world where teams like Salt Lake and Dallas, where their academy focus, can compete with these new clubs that have all this money? Or do you think that's kind of the new wave of championships in MLS is these, you know, heavy club.
The best team in the last years has been the Philadelphia Union. Of like, so a lot of people are betting. A lot of people had success. Today's whole new model was Lucha model. Without their teams have set the Philadelphia West or Philly West, whatever it is. So there's a lot of ways to win points. Like the Chicago, it's like, spent a lot of money over the last 12 years, and they've been all of years. Awful. It's like wrong way. Like, money helps. Money should make it easier across global soccer in leagues where there aren't salary caps. The biggest to predicting is the wage salary. But here, there's a salary cap. One way to get is having academy kids. So you get worried that teams say, "Oh, we just want to be academy." Is like, you know, code words for code. Spend a lot of money. So. I think, you know, Philadelphia has found that has really well. You know, again, maybe they're definitely bottom in terms of these or whatever. But like, they spent $3 million on Mikael Orton. He took on Carranza's contract when not everybody was kind of bothered, like calling Emmy about taking Emmy. Like, given Alejandro Bedoya new contracts and Jose Martinez, all these players have gotten raises. that's for me, like maybe not, maybe it's not a little bit more than Philly would probably be the, would, you know, I guess LAFC comes into that because they're spending money, but also develop and have young players. So young, some balance is different. Again, that's one of the things, that's, I think it's one of the things I love about soccer and jobs. NBA, it's pretty clear team, you know, pace and shoot, teams look the same. Baseball, hit a home run or get a walk. Or get a, soccer, they're building and on-field. There's so much variance. There's so many things, so many different ways to be successful. It's just about what works in your club.
Yeah, definitely. Now, does that mean, this is our last question, does that mean you're also picking Philadelphia to win this year? Can we get a prediction for MLS Cup out of you?
Look, it's to do it this early, but yeah, for me, yeah, Philadelphia. That they're, that, I think that they're a step ahead of everybody, of literally everybody. Like the only club that I would put with them is LAFC, and that is because it'd be disrespectful to look at the reigning Cup double winners, double, and like not having, and like tier, right? Like they said, right? They brought back a lot of, even though they have some question marks. Like, but again, for Philly, for me, it's pretty clearly the tier for contender.
Well, between the Super Bowl, MLS Cup last year, and the World Series, they could use a win. So hopefully they. Man, and again, Tom Boger, appreciate you coming on. MLS writer, the Adam Schefter. I don't know if people, I'm calling you that. I don't know if people have, but maybe we can start it. Yeah, appreciate like you coming that, on, that, man. Like that. Perfect. Well, maybe that'll be the episode title.
Perfect, man. Sounds good.
Awesome. Hey, appreciate you making the time this morning. I know you're super busy schedule. Love following you. And we'll talk to you later.
Cheers, man. Appreciate it. Cheers, man.
Appreciate Tom Boger coming on. Awesome interview. Again, do apologize for a bit of these sound, the quality issues. We were, you know, doing our best to troubleshoot that. But still a great interview. Really smart guy. I think he's the best MLS person to follow because I've learned a lot, like so much about the league just like from following him. So hit him up. Appreciate him coming on. Before you get to the top five, do you have any comments?
Just generally, or?
Well, that specifically, I guess generally, yeah. Anything to say?
I'm just excited for the top five.
Okay. Let's do it. Here's the top five. Now, what it's kind of a hard thing to explain, but top five sports, like divorces where one person came out on top and like proved like, oh yeah, he was right. When we maybe necessarily in the time didn't realize that.
Yes.
When I'm going through, I think it'll make sense.
Okay. Yeah, I got you.
So number five is Nick Saban. When he was in the NFL, he was trying to get Drew Brees. Drew Brees had a shoulder thing. Miami's owner nixed that. Miami didn't make the playoffs for like 20 years or something like that. Nick Saban's the best coach in college football history. If they would have got Drew Brees, I think Nick Saban's still in the NFL. And I think Nick Saban's proved that he's better than the Dolphins.
I think that's fair.
So that's number five. Number four is Tom Brady. Not a diss on Bill Belichick at all. But there's always who's better, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady. Tom Brady immediately goes to Tampa, which hadn't done anything for years, and wins the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Right away. Number three, and you'll love this one, Howie Roseman. Chip Kelly comes in, coach the Eagles, and he gets GM power and just makes the dumbest trades. And I think you'd agree with me, like just mind-boggling trades that don't make sense.
Yeah, ruined the team.
So Chip Kelly gets fired. Howie Roseman gets control back. Won a Super Bowl, went to the Super Bowl last year, continues to build a fantastic roster despite not drafting secondary players early, which frustrates you.
It does.
But I think Howie Roseman's proven, got that power back, one of the best GMs in the league.
Yeah, I like it.
Number two is Pete Carroll. Everyone criticized him for being too old, being too old-fashioned running the ball. He didn't let Russ cook. And everything Russell wanted in Seattle, he got in Denver, and it was like the worst offense in the league. Pete Carroll went to the playoffs with Geno Smith. I think that's an ultimate Pete Carroll is vindicated. He was right as far as like how they ran the office, understanding Russell's limitations and maximizing the team around that.
Yeah, I think so.
And number one is Mike Tomlin. Now, when Antonio Brown was in Pittsburgh, we didn't think anything other than he was a great receiver. And looking back, Mike Tomlin should win the Nobel Peace Prize for nothing coming out of AB. And then as soon as he's gone, it's just like the biggest, without swearing, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it was not good. Like, to the point where it's like a serious mental health issue. So I don't know what Mike Tomlin was doing, but good for him. Good for that guy.
Definitely, yeah. No, Mike Tomlin, I would have to think. He's definitely the top three NFL coaches right now. You know, you think, you know, Andy Reid and Bill Belichick, I think, are the only two others that have put with Mike Tomlin. And I feel like we don't talk about him as a great NFL coach.
No, I don't think there's three I would take ahead of Tomlin either. Because, like, we never think Pittsburgh's roster is fantastic, and they're playing playoff contention every single year.
Yeah.
They never have a losing record. Their quarterbacks are not that – like, Ben Roethlisberger struggled for the last part of his year. Kenny Pickett wasn't good this year. They were still one game away from the playoffs. He's just a fantastic coach, does everything really well for a really long time, too. One of the most consistent. So I don't think there's three. I think, Belichick and Reed are the only two you – I can't think of anyone else who would be above him.
Yeah, and I'm not even necessarily saying those two are above Mike Tomlin. I don't know. Once you get to that point, it's hard to rank him, I think.
Yeah, like I would think about taking Tomlin over Reed. I wouldn't for sure do it.
But
I don't know who would the fourth be. Maybe I'm biased by maybe Kyle Shanahan four.
But yeah.
Am I biased on that? You can say so.
No, I would like to see him do a little bit more. You know,
that's the thing. He hasn't won. I mean, it's not. I don't think it's his fault because he's playing with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Absolutely, yeah.
And a fifth string quarterback, basically. Right. But
yeah,
I think Kyle Shanahan's in the top five.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan's really, really good.
But Tom, not for sure. You wouldn't take him over Tomlin, like for sure.
No. Yeah, I would like. You know, Pete Carroll is, I don't know if he's top five. He's certainly top 10.
Well, especially after the wrestling. I think we saw that. Yeah.
You know, Nick Sirianni's definitely not in the conversation right now, but, you know, let's give it 5 years. Let's see how he does having lost both his coordinators. I think that's going to be a real test.
Sirianni and Brian Daboll, I think in a few years should be in the top 10 conversation. I think Doug Peterson could be in the top 10 conversation. Super Bowl champion Doug Peterson.
Yeah. Doug Peterson. I'm going to be interested to see Sean McVay on a different team if he's able to get them back to the Super Bowl too.
Yeah.
It was crazy. You know, if you would have told, 3 years ago, it's like, you're going to talk about the best NFL coaches and you're not even going to mention Sean McVay. Like, that would have sounded crazy.
Well, yeah, because Zach Taylor got his job just because he followed Sean McVay on Instagram, basically.
Right.
That was great. That was a weird offseason.
It was a weird time, yeah.
That was a very weird offseason. You know who would not be under consideration is Mike McCarthy.
No, he would not.
Nope, not at all. So that's the top five. Any thoughts on that? Anyone I didn't – I know it's kind of a hard thing to think. It took me literally a week to think about it.
Yes, no, I would need
– I considered Jerry Sloan with the Darren Williams thing.
Yeah, no, that's a good one for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's got to be, some. I mean, maybe the Nuggets trade. Because Chauncey Billups was on the Nuggets, and then they traded into the Pistons, and then they won. Is that what happened? Was it the other way?
I'm trying to think, because he's from Colorado. Let's see. Yeah, Chauncey Billups was good.
Yeah, the order's a little bit weird, because I know he was involved in an Allen Iverson.
So Celtics in 98.
Oh, no. I got it wrong because Iverson got traded from Denver to the Pistons for Chauncey Billups.
So Chauncey went from Minnesota to Detroit.
Yeah. So that, I don't know those first two. But certainly, I don't think that the Timberwolves are thinking we've got an NBA champion point guard.
Yeah, it says Billups wanted to return to Minnesota, but the team wanted to see how Brandon, I don't know who Brandon is, probably says that earlier. But Terrell Brandon.
Yeah, haven't heard of
him. So they chose Terrell Brandon over Chauncey Billups.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Chauncey Billups, just Minnesota, not Denver.
Yeah, I think divorce is being a disaster. I don't know that I wouldn't say that Dwayne Wade won, but I thought that the Heat not giving him the max was criminal. I thought that was a shameful thing to do. And so then him going to the Bulls, you know, obviously the Bulls didn't win an NBA championship or anything. But I thought that was a really, he really called their bluff, and they thought he's going to stay in Miami no matter what. And he just showed them like, hey, you can't just, you know, you can't treat me like this. I've earned better than this by you. And now he owns the Jazz and did not buy a stake in the Miami Heat. And you got to think that that's part of it, is just not wanting to work with Pat Riley.
Right. You know, LeBron could be on the list like four different times because he's won a championship. Like, left Cleveland, won a championship in Miami. Left Miami, won a championship in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Left Cleveland, won a championship in L.A.
The reason I would not put him on the list is because none of those teams wanted him to leave.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, that's fair.
I think everybody would have liked to hold on.
Yeah,
to
so I didn't really prove anybody wrong. I literally was thinking one, but I forgot. But yeah, no one's topping Mike Tomlin in the Antonio Brown situation.
Yeah.
Like, he should, like, the Medal of Honor or something like that. Yeah, like,
Mike Tomlin's great.
He's unbelievable.
Shout out, Mike.
Shout out, Mike Tomlin, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are. It's kind of been an interesting episode. A little bit of much more hockey than we usually do.
You mean 2 minutes?
That is a lot more than we usually do. That's close to our 4 minutes for the whole year, I think.
Yeah.
But a lot of MLS stuff. Appreciate Tom Boger coming on. A little basketball, a little football. We're getting into draft season. We're going to talk about draft stuff, but we had this other stuff to talk about, NBA All-Star stuff. So we'll start slowly incorporating NFL draft stuff. Combine's coming up in a little bit. Lot to look forward to. A lot to talk about. Appreciate everybody listening. And we'll talk to you guys next week.